it's going to be a long offseason. And I don't mean like in a bad way, but the quicker they make a move that makes us all happy, the better. No pressure, Cleveland Browns. No pressure. Just please soon.
Well, I mean, they did last year, made a move to make us all kind of think that the hope was bright for the future.
Yeah, that was like March though, right?
It's like March 7th or
yeah.
something. No, it wasn't. It was March. You know why? I know, because I was off work that day,
mm-hmm.
and Adam was hosting solo, and I was in Pittsburgh for March Madness mm-hmm. to watch the Buckeyes. And I was listening to The Fan, and I remember when the news broke.
Wasn't he solo?
He was solo.
Because I believe at the time, it was, okay, so I was in
I may have called in.
And I believe that I was actually listening to the show. The second I saw the tweet, I tuned in.
Yeah.
Back in those Charlotte days. So I want to run something by you before we get to the Mary Kay clip. When you hear that, like Albert Breer we had yesterday, and Albert said, the Browns could look to make a splash move to ensure their purchase of Deshaun Watson, which to this point it is. They traded picks and they traded money for the hope that Deshaun Watson could be their Joe Burrow. Or, sorry, franchise quarterback, not specifically Joe Burrow. But when you hear that, instead of like fortifying the defense.
By the way, I think it's fine to say Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow is the standard in this division.
I was going to say Pat Mahomes is still the division.
I'm talking about this division.
Yes, if
you want to win the AFC North, you've got to have a quarterback on par with Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. And by the way, it's not just about winning it once. Like, this move is about competing for multiple titles. This move is about...
Burrow's about to, I think they're going to win, about to go to back-to-back Super Bowls.
I'm still torn on that game. But I will admit, I'm a bit of a Mahomes homer.
Lock and Forrest sold me on the Bengals.
He did?
With that 11-person. I mean, he had some really good stats.
Mm-hmm.
He must do this for a living.
It's a little concerning to me, respectfully. It's a little concerning to me that after six games with Deshaun Watson, the Browns have to completely retool their offense and are thinking about making a big ticket purchase, maybe mm-hmm. a wide receiver, to make Deshaun better. It's a little concerning to me that would be the mentality instead of, if we're going to give up draft picks and or more financial collateral, it's going to be for a running mate for Deshaun Watson and maybe another starting defensive tackle. It's a little concerning that that's... Didn't that scream a little cover my ass? A little CYA?
A little bit. I think, honestly, this offseason, the one move that... Not maybe the one move. The moves that the Browns should make are to retool the defense to make Jim Schwartz be able to run his defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when Albert yesterday said Nuke Hopkins. And, like, I love... Whoever it was we had on out of Arizona that said a first-round pick for Nuke Hopkins, you got to be high off your friggin' rocker. He's 30 years old. He's played, 9 games last year, and he's got injury problems. Oh, and by the way, if he's asking out, he either wants paid or he does not, flat out does not like Kyler Murray. Some of those things must be true. So, do I like the idea of, let's go ahead and see, maybe, can you get that Nuke Hopkins Deshaun Watson relationship back? Yes. But it just feels weird that that's the one in the chamber you would need to make. Because again, I'm actually reasonably optimistic. I think they have everything they need to have an important offseason. When Lockin' Four was on with us, he's like, it's got to be one hell of an offseason. Well, isn't that every team trying to break through from 7-10 to 10-7? Isn't that every team that's trying to go from the Cleveland Browns to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, yeah.
And you have an owner who's willing to do things to move mountains to make things happen. So I'm reasonably confident that they're going to be able to make this offseason count. But here's the reality. How they do it matters. Should Deshaun need anything other than a fortified offensive line to be a franchise quarterback?
Burrow doesn't have one.
Well, I'm talking about like great. I lost my thoughts and my million likes there.
You just did this thing where you're like, aliens, man.
I went full on Ancient Aliens or whatever that show is on History Channel.
Yeah.
But like, I'm talking about foundational pieces. Why would you need DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nick Chubb, and David Njoku? Like, how is that? And I understand, like, in Buffalo right now, it's a conversation. Is Stephon Diggs enough? Is Gabe Davis truly a number two wide receiver? Dawson Knox, is he a second threat? Like, these are fair questions to have. But I just don't understand how, if their priority is, like, speed receiver to me doesn't say we're going to go out there and we're going to get an elite speed receiver. When I say speed receiver, I'm talking about a number one wide receiver. Like, if you could get Hardman in Kansas City.
Mecole Hardman.
Ridiculous. DJ Chark out of Detroit. That's not an elite move. But DJ Chark with Deshaun Watson could be elite. There's a guy who is a former 1,000-yard receiver and is fast as hell.
Why not do that? But also, Nick, like, some of these guys that the Browns have, you know, whether it be a David Bell, right? Or somebody else that they pick up this year, or who, like, Deshaun's supposed to be the guy. I remember when Dabo Swinney called him Michael Jordan. If you're Michael Jordan, you're supposed to make guys better around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't necessarily have to have the elite talent, but let's say maybe the Browns find somebody or have somebody on the roster that turns out to be like a Gabe Davis.
Well, and what did Deshaun do all the time in Houston? I mean, Kiki Cootie was his, like, number two receiver. That's a real name. I didn't just make that up.
I thought you did.
He made Darren Fells, a guy who
couldn't do anything here.
Couldn't do anything
into,
here.
Into, like, a legitimate red zone target.
Yes. And
he was up like a blocking tight end here.
And a decent-ish starting tight end in the NFL at, like, 32.
Ish.
Ish. Emphasis on the ish.
And he was big. Like, he was like 6'7".
Like 6'7". Wasn't he a former
college basketball player?
Yeah. But I think that's how they roll things out, right? Like, people were like, they should trade Nick Chubb. Yeah, so you want less talent on this team? No, I think going forward, the balance is, can you just hoard as much talent offensively as possible while focusing on guys that fit, right? DJ Chark with Amari Cooper and DPJ changes this offense. It's also not the same move as Nuke Hopkins. 216-578-0092. Birdman, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Hey, it's just a make or break year for us this year. You know, with D-Hop, when we get D-Hop, that'd be great. But Deshaun Watson, you really, guys, was just, this all was preseason when he played. This is a year that we hope that he comes out and these weapons around him that we do have come up and get busy. And if we do go out in free agency and get somebody, I need them to, bam, make an impact for us. Because if we see the last four teams in the playoffs, they're pretty much homegrown. D-Fox, you can correct me if I'm wrong. They pretty much drafted a lot of their players, and when they went and got some in free agency, bam, he made an impact.
Wait, give me that one again. Like what?
Bam, an impact when you get a free agency. We got enough homegrown things in our grocery store right here in Cleveland Browns to make it happen. It's also fancy, guys. You ain't coming out that dope 4-0, 3-0. You got to be out of here. I can't, as a fan, I can't come out the dope 2-2.
Now, wait.
I like that one. If you ain't coming out the dough,
4-0. The season.
Now, how would you want Kevin Stefanski to come out the door?
We got to come out the dough 3-0 just to get this thing flowing.
But, like, if there was a sound.
If there was a sound, boom! Come on out that door.
Now, was that a boom or a bam? Because the first three sounded
bam. Bang or boom?
I 2-0 or 3-0.
Or bam.
Because, you know, on a serious note, this team, like you said, we have progressed since we made the playoffs. So that means somebody figuring us out or we not doing it right. So either way it goes, we got to get it right because as a fan, we got to have it. And as the radio shows that we listen to here on 92.3 The Fan, they're going to talk about positivity on our Cleveland Browns.
Don't you mean 92.3 The
92.3 The Fan, you know what time it is.
Oh, I teed you up on it, Birdman.
You screwed it up.
92.3 The BAM!
Put a lot of pressure on them.
Was it a bam or a what was the other one?
He turned into John Madden halfway through there.
Yeah, and
I thought he was going to do tough acting to acting.
If we gave him another 60 seconds, we might have got a pow out of this. Might have turned into like a 1960s Batman episode. That Bam was ill-advised for a guy that's got to host solo for 5 hours tomorrow.
Not my problem.
So let's. Okay. All right.
Well, hey.
You know what?
You know where I'll be.
Let's hope Wagner loses there. How about? Well, no, that would actually be
self-inflicted. I'll be on a beach.
You are a beach. Let's play Mary Kay Cabot.
Yes.
And her thoughts on the Browns offseason and how this is setting up. Because I think this goes into the idea of the Browns should not be subtracting talent, whether it's offensively or defensively. I think that should change the way some of us, some of other people, should be looking at the Browns offseason.
I don't necessarily know that they do have to trade anyone. I don't necessarily know that they have to do that. I think that this team right now has the core group of players that they want to try to get them to the Super Bowl. And I don't think it's time to start trading those players away if they don't have to. What they can do is move the money around. I mean, look what they did last year by lowering the cap number of, say, an Amari Cooper or a Deshaun Watson to the point where you can sign other players. And that's what they will continue to do. It's a shell game in some respects. You move the money around and you create what you need. And there will also be, you know, a higher cap this year. So there are a lot of things that can take place. You know, I'm sure there are, you know, some players that might not be back next year, you know, just for one reason or another. But in terms of trying to trade away some of your core players, here's a reason why I wouldn't think about trading Wyatt also. And that is, you don't know what's going on at center yet. You don't know if you're going to be able to keep Ethan Posick. You know, you do have some other issues on the offensive line that you have to deal with. So I don't know that you want to be messing around too much with, you know, the guys that you know are really great.
I know we've reached a pinnacle point of desperation in Cleveland when I've heard people say, you got to trade Bitonio or Wyatt Teller this offseason. And, you know, like we've had, I can't remember, one of the guests we've had, and forgive me that I'm not getting this right, has said the Browns might eventually have to make a financial decision because paying both those guys that level of money 2 years down the road when you're paying Deshaun $50 million a year, guys, I'll be real honest, I tune the hell out. I don't care. Hey, Jimmy, checkbook, figure it out. That's your job. Because here's where the Browns are. The Browns are not, and I actually disagree with Birdman to some extent, the Browns are not where the Bengals are, all right? Because the Bengals haven't paid the quarterback yet. Because the Bengals
haven't paid Jamar Chase either.
And the Bengals, looking at that roster, a lot of their guys are homegrown. The Sam Hubbards, right? But you know what they've also done that's really smart? DJ Reader and Trey Hendrickson. Two of the best free agent signings mm-hmm. in the NFL in the last 3 years. So where I'm at with the Browns, I would like to see them, and I don't want to go to the level that the Rams did, because the Rams were so, I mean, the Rams just stopped caring about anything that wasn't that year.
Yeah.
But it's time for the Browns to embrace the bleep them picks mentality. And I'm not talking about not valuing their picks. I'm saying you can't chase more draft picks. All right? If you get if you want to trade from 42 to 48 and pick up a future third, knock your socks off. But I'm not trying to trade any of the veterans on this roster.
You're not going to trade a Nick Chubb.
Because you want to know why? Because if you're going to trade Nick Chubb to get a second-round pick, which, by the way, I think is probably ambitious to get for a 27-year-old running back. But if you want to trade Nick Chubb so you can get a second-round pick, do you know what you're going to try and find with that second-round pick?
Another running back.
Another player of that magnitude. So it's we've gotten to this point where it's like, I don't hate the idea that everything should be on the table. But it only, whether it's trading one of the guards or whether it's trading Jedrick Wills or whether it's trading Denzel Ward or trading Miles, which I know people want to throw that out there, good luck. You can get the number 5 pick in this draft for Miles Garrett tomorrow. You're not going to get a player of that ilk again. And by the way, that's if you're lucky. That player might be a Pro Bowler. He's not going to be Miles Garrett.
Right.
But I think the Browns, I think within reason, the Browns need to be as aggressive as you can. And you know what? If you can get a really nice starting defensive tackle for a second or third round pick, you should absolutely consider it. Absolutely. That Bam really screwed up my voice.
Bam!
That was like a Reg Eye, right?
How would Reg Eye do it? I can do a Mike Breen.
Yeah, okay, give me a Breen.
Puts it in! Bam! bang.
That's a pretty good bang. I think that might be the best bang I've ever seen you do. I just don't care about draft picks anymore. And now, am I excited about the draft? Have I run umpteenth just ridiculous amounts of mock draft simulators since the season ended? Yes. A second-round pick this year, especially if he's going to spend it on Grant Delpit over Antoine Winfield Jr., I'm not letting that be the thing that stands in the way of chasing a good player here. Let's go with Tyler. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm just going to – what, we've got 4 years left of Deshaun Watson on this contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why not get rid of all of our draft picks? Do whatever you got to do. We got to win.
Well, because you do – you know,
but you don't want to just trade him to trade him. You would like to be able to trade them for
draft
a value.
Good players.
Right, right. I understand. I'm just saying we got the time to win now. You know, I'm in win now mode. I want to win a Super Bowl.
I kind of like that. That, you know what? I'm going to use that because most people don't understand what I say when I say bleep them picks. So real quick, like if you had to say which of the Browns draft picks this year you hated the most, which one would you, was it the seventh rounder? They got a couple of fifths, I think. Which one do you hate the most?
I always say anything after round four, I'm willing, you know, get rid of them all.
Look at that. Fire all the calendars? What? Fire all cylinders. That's what I was going for. I agree. I would like to see the Browns starting maybe even before free agency because I want to see them enter win now mode. And you know what? Honestly, that's what the Deshaun Watson trade should have signified. It's what signing Jadeveon Clowney, who was a risk 2 years ago, but then bringing him back for another year, it's what those moves have entailed. Sonny. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well. So Nick, what was happening in the background?
Nick, I'm a big fan.
Oh.
Dustin.
Yes, sir.
Dustin, I'm a big fan of yours too, Dustin. Even though I know you're a pretty boy, I'm a big fan.
I appreciate that.
Wait, does this mean I'm not pretty?
Hey, Dustin, I
take pretty boy as a compliment, by the way.
Hey, listen, ain't you guys tired of watching all these other football teams in the playoffs except your own? You know, you got to give Cincinnati some credit, man, and I'm rooting for them. The Browns need to take a page out their book, man, because they doing this their second year. Come on, man. I'm tired of looking at all these other teams except my own. Dustin, I got a question for you, too,
yeah,
man.
What's up, man?
That caller you guys had that said, bam,
Birdman.
I agree with that dude.
Bam!
That dude know what he's talking about.
Specifically on the bam?
Bam! Yeah, the guy, he know what he's talking about. I agree with him. Browns need to go 4-0 off the rip. Off the rip.
Bam!
They need to take the expression, ride or die. Kevin Stefanski need to take that expression. It's an expression, a figure of speech.
Bam!
Ride or die. This should be their ride or die
Bam!
Season coming up. Bam!
Bam!
But Dustin, I got a question for you.
Yeah, I have an answer for you, hopefully.
You know the football game. I know you're a pretty boy. I get that.
Yeah.
But you know the game. You know the game. Why you ain't on the, I mean, you do a great job on the radio, first of all. Let's get that out the way. You do a great job, Dustin. I'm a fan of you.
Thanks, man.
But why you ain't on the sideline, man? Over there. Why you ain't helping the Browns out, man?
Bam!
I just like to know that.
Well, I did a lot of work for the Browns over the years. Now I work for ESPN on Saturdays.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you're a good coach.
Oh, you mean coaching or?
Good. Hey, Bruce, Dustin, what
no,
I'm
I don't want to coach. I don't want to coach. Sorry.
Dustin, what I'm saying is you're a good dude.
Oh,
Bam!
Thanks, man.
I like you. The NFL, the players, you can relate to the players, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I have zero interest in coaching, but I appreciate the compliment, Sonny.
Sonny, thank you for the call.
It was so funny about that call. Is Spano's perfect timing with those?
It's so good.
I couldn't tell if it was him or Birdman.
The first couple times, I was like, "Is this dude bamming us on air?
Bam!
Is this happening?" And then I just realized, no, it is Dave Spano with a timing of the gods. I don't really know where we're going to start with Sonny on that one. We never got to the bottom of whether he was having some sort of discourse off air with somebody.
Bam!
Don't give me a pregnant pause. I'll take it.
All right, here's the thing. I'm not rooting for the Bengals. What is this line of thinking from people? And Sonny said he's rooting for the Bengals this weekend. Huh? You can't say how frustrated you are the Browns aren't in the playoffs and then turn around and be like, that's why I'm rooting for the Bengals. No, you should root for them to get the crap kicked out of them. And listen, I do get that we've entered an era where I'm the anomaly. I'm a Cleveland sports fan, all right? The only fandom that I have of an individual player is LeBron James. Only one. I might like some guys, but in terms of actively rooting for those guys, LeBron's the only guy not in Cleveland that I will root for to win, even sometimes against my own better judgment. So why was anybody in Cleveland rooting for Joe Burrow? I know I'm the anomaly, but why?
Are people rooting for Burrow this weekend?
Yes, I think there are so many people.
Because he's a Buckeye?
He never played.
I mean, he graduated from Ohio State, and he claims he's a Buckeye.
Yeah, I claim I'm Hungarian, and I've never stepped foot in the country, okay?
Yeah, but he stepped foot on the campus at Ohio State.
Did he, though? He did. I know. I'm being a little bit of a D here.